Two questions that we're going to get right to this morning. Two questions we want to wrestle with this morning. Two questions that come up a lot in Scripture. Two questions that humanity has long wrestled with. The first question is this: what do you want? What do you want? It's a pretty simple question. I could ask my 6-year-old this. I could ask an 86-year-old this. And we would be quick to answer. We know what we want. We know our desires. We know the things that we run after. We know the things that we pursue. We know those things all too well. But there's another question, a more important question that we rarely, if ever, ask. And that question is this: is what you want worth wanting? Is what you want worth wanting? If I were to ask my 6-year-old, what do you want? There's no telling what he would say. But he might say something. He's in the middle of his baseball season. He might say something like, I want to win the Rotary 5- and 6-year-old championship. He's giving thumbs up to that. And then if I were to turn to Brant and say, Brant, is that worth wanting? He would look at me with that puzzled look, right? Because we struggle with this question. Not just 6-year-olds, but have we asked this question? Have these 18-year-olds who are starting the next chapter of their life considered whether what they want is worth wanting? Have 40-year-olds who are working so hard to climb that ladder considered whether what they want is worth wanting? Have 65-year-olds who are finally achieving that season of retirement considered whether what they want is worth wanting? There's a famous 60 Minutes interview with Tom Brady. He's 27 years old. He's just won 3 Super Bowls. And he sits down with the great 60 Minutes reporter Steve Croft. And he's kind of talking about his life, talking about where he's at right now in his life. And Tom Brady says this. He says, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. Me, I think, man, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, I've done it. I'm 27. And what else is there for me? And Steve Croft turns to him. He says, what's the answer? And Tom Brady says, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Do you hear it? Tom Brady knew exactly what he wanted. And he had spent the majority of his life with singular focus on what he wanted. And in many ways, that's what sets him apart from other people, is he could just have a maniacal focus on what he wants. He wants Super Bowls, he wants to win, he wants to be the GOAT. And in his case, he can will his mind and body to focus on that, pursue that, and in his case, achieve that. In parentheses on here, Gary, I have, in a way the Cowboys haven't been able to do in 30 years. But you see Tom Brady in real time wrestling with, is what I want worth wanting? He's never considered that question before. He's had singular focus on what he wants. Now he has achieved what he wants. And now for the first time he's going, is what I want worth wanting? We live in a culture that asks all the time, what do you want? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want your life to look like? What do you want? But we don't often or ever ask, is what you want worth wanting? Is the job that you want worth wanting? Is the life that you want worth wanting? Are the things that you want worth wanting? If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 is where we're going to start. And this text is the beginning of the end for Jesus' time on earth. Him and the disciples are headed to Jerusalem. He is on his way to the cross. The end is in sight. And so Jesus, as maybe many of these parents have been wont to do over the last few months, is circling back in some ways to the disciples and making sure they get this lesson. That is, his time here on earth is about to come to an end. He wants to make sure the disciples don't miss this. He wants to make sure they get it. So let's read. Matthew 20, verse 17 through 28. Jesus, now well on the way up to Jerusalem, took the 12 off to the side of the road and said, "Listen to me carefully. We are on our way up to Jerusalem. When we get there, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the religious leaders and scholars. They will sentence him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Romans for mockery and torture and crucifixion. On the third day, he will be raised up alive." It was about that time that the mother of the Zebedee brothers came with her two sons and knelt before Jesus with a request. "What do you want?" Jesus asked. She said, "Give me your word that these two sons of mine will be awarded the highest places of honor in your kingdom, one at your right hand, one at your left hand." Jesus responded, "You have no idea what you're asking." And he said to James and John, "Are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink?" They said, "Sure, why not?" Jesus said, "Come to think of it, you are going to drink my cup. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. My Father is taking care of that." When the 10 others heard about this, they lost their tempers, thoroughly disgusted with the two brothers. So Jesus gathered them together to settle things down. He said, "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage." Jesus asked the best questions. You would be well served to spend a lot of time just going through the Gospels, wrestling with what questions does Jesus ask. If you haven't done that, I would encourage you to do that. Just spend time in the Gospels, answering the questions that Jesus asks. But what's fascinating about this question is, or about this text, is Jesus cuts straight to it. Most of the time, Jesus doesn't get baited into reacting or responding. Usually he asks a question, they get fired up. He just asks another question, they get fired up. He just keeps asking questions. But in this text, Jesus asks the question, "What do you want?" They respond with their basic human answer that we respond with most days. And Jesus can't help himself, right? He says, "You have no idea what you're asking." Another way to say it would be, "You don't know what you are wanting." I think this is what Jesus is trying to say. The thing that you want is not worth wanting. The thing that you want more than anything, your one request, is not worth wanting. It's empty, it's meaningless, it's pointless, it's vapid. I think here is what is so scary. You can very easily live a life that is not worth wanting and have no idea. James and John have left everything to follow Jesus, and yet still they are confused about what a life worth wanting looks like. Before we move on too quickly, pay attention to what Jesus says is not worth wanting. Jesus says power is not worth wanting. He says prestige, fame, not worth wanting. He says notoriety, not worth wanting. Security, not worth wanting. William Barclay says the disciples wanted Jesus with a royal command to ensure for them a princely life. And Jesus says just as clearly as he can, that is not a life worth wanting. So what is a life worth wanting? Here's how I would define this based on the Matthew 20 text. I would say a life worth wanting is a life of joining God in service to others. A life worth wanting is a life of joining God in service to others. We live in a world that says, take care of you first. You do what you want to do. You prioritize your wants, your desires, your wiring first, above all else, which is exactly what James and John are doing. And Jesus just says as clearly as he can, no, it is not a life worth wanting. You were made for so much more than that. Don't settle. One of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this morning is because if you know these seniors, you know they get this. I'm not just saying that. If you know these seniors, you know a servant. This is an incredible class. And as much as any class we've ever had, these guys are humble servant leaders. And so what I want to say this morning is you are on the right path. Keep going. Don't give up. When the world says you should want something else, something that looks like fame or security or money or prestige or notoriety or whatever it is, lean into our good God and keep running after him and joining him in giving your life in service to others. There's a book called Life Worth Living that I stumbled across this last week, and they tell the story of a guy named Albert Speer. This is a picture of Albert Speer. He lived from 1905 to 1981. He was an intelligent young man and a brilliant architect. When Hitler offered Speer the role of chief architect for the Nazi party, he was less than 30 years old. He found the offer impossible to pass up. He was, as he put it, above all, an architect, and Hitler had offered him the ability to design buildings that had not been seen in over 2,000 years. And so he said yes, and he participated in some of the most egregious crimes in history. He served the German war effort, made use of slave labor, facilitated the Holocaust. And meanwhile, he did indeed design spectacular buildings. And here's the line that haunts. Here's the line that the authors of this book, Life Worth Living, this is what they say. They say, it is possible to succeed in our highest aspirations and yet fail as human beings. It is possible to succeed in our highest aspirations and yet significantly, spectacularly fail as human beings. So please be careful to consistently ask yourself, is what I want worth wanting? We make fun of James and John, we pick on James and John, but to their credit, they were listening to Jesus. They realized the emptiness of what they wanted. They realized the emptiness of their plans. And so James and John did join Jesus in giving their life to him and serving others. James and John did drink the cup. And here's the thing. When we join Jesus in drinking the cup, there is no guarantee of easy outcomes. There's no promise of long, easy life. There's no plan for step-by-step how to do it. The Christian life simply says, drink the cup. The apostle John drank the cup, and most historians agree John lived a long life. John was the youngest of the apostles. He lived until old age and died of natural causes. Most people believe he died in AD 98 in Ephesus, and most people believe he was the only apostle that did not die as a martyr. On the other hand, the apostle James also drank the cup. James, the apostle, made it only to the 12th chapter of Acts, where we read, it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. William Barclay tells the story of a Roman coin that was once found with a picture of an ox on it. The ox was facing two things, an altar and a plow. And the inscription said, "Ready for either." The ox had to be ready for the supreme moment of sacrifice on the altar or the long labor of life on the farm at the plow. Barclay says this, "There is no one cup for Christians to drink. That cup may be drunk in one great moment. That cup may be drunk through a lifetime of Christian living. To drink the cup simply means to follow Christ wherever he may lead and to be like him in any situation he may bring." Doyle and the praise team, would y'all come up? This morning, the call of Christ is to drink his cup. To renounce the temptations of power and prestige and security, and to lean into the good, good Father and drink his cup. We have no idea what drinking this cup will look like. But we do know this. Drinking the cup is a life worth wanting. Seniors, you are on the right path. You are on the right path. Keep joining God in giving your life to the kingdom work that he has for you. Church, what do you want? And is what you want worth wanting? God is real. God is good. And we will follow him and drink his cup. And joining him in serving others and living a life that is worth wanting. Let's stand and sing.